Can you turn, please, back to 2 Kings chapter 18, where we were last Lord's Day? We're coming again to think of Hezekiah, and we're thinking a little bit by way of introduction about him before we start thinking on particular matters. It's more of seeking to glean an overview in this portion. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 12, really does give to us something of a summary about this man's life. We'll just bow together in prayer for a moment and ask the Lord for his help. Our Father, we thank thee we can open up thy word and read it and meditate upon it. Thou hast given us thy word for our good. It is spiritual food for our souls. And Lord, we thank thee that it is in this word that we learn about the blood that covers us and preserves us. We thank thee that every child of God is safe under the blood. And Lord, we pray today that as we come to thy truth, thou wilt speak to us. Lord, may thy word run in a free course. And we pray that thou would apply it to all of our hearts. Give help in the preaching. We pray that we might know the Lord drawing near. Give us all help to hear. I need that added help to preach. So hear us now, Lord. Close us in with thyself. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We commenced last Lord's Day thinking about this king of Judah. He's the 13th king of the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, out of a list of 20 monarchs that are mentioned, if we include Athaliah, who reigned for a time as well. He was only 25 years of age when he came to the throne, so he was a very young man. He reigned for 29 years. So at a young age, he came to the throne of Judah, and the Lord indeed helped him, because we noticed that was the meaning of his name, strengthened of the Lord. And there's a whole series of ways I trust that we'll see as we work our way through the life of Hezekiah and the will of God, that we'll see how the Lord helped him, how the Lord intervened at times, not only exercising his own heart, but even exercising the people's heart as well. We've read a little of that in that portion out of Chronicles this morning. There were those that didn't want to hear the king and what he wanted to do. There were those whose ears were closed to his word, even to his commands. But there were others whose hearts the Lord moved. And they came to Jerusalem on that occasion that we were reading off there in 2 Chronicles. So here is a man helped of the Lord. And that really is the key to understanding his life. There's 117 direct references to this man by name in 8 books of the Old Testament. So evidently there's something worth noticing about Hezekiah and what the Word of God has to say about this man. And as we were thinking last time by way of introduction, just tying things in around the meaning of his name, that Jehovah is my strength or strengthened of Jehovah, we highlighted the fact that he was preserved from being sacrificed to idols by his father, who was an ungodly king and worshipped false gods and burnt his children in the fire to appease those false gods. We noticed as well that he went on to be one of the best of the kings of Judah. And that is told to us here in 2 Kings 18 and verse 5. It says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So this man was head and shoulders above them all. And in many respects, he's a throwback to David, because it's mentioned here in verse 3. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. So the character of Hezekiah is going to be very similar to the character of David. The type of man that he is and how he follows the Lord is going to be very similar to how David followed the Lord. And with Hezekiah being a throwback to a previous king, there's also going to be a renewing of former times, because this is one of the outstanding features of this man's reign, was the return to the Lord that was experienced under his reign. Now today I want to go a little further, and we've thought about the meaning of his name. I want us to think today, by way of really of overview again, is the manner of his life. There are three particular passages in the Word of God that deals. I said there's 117 direct references, but you can bring the vast majority of those references into three particular portions. There's three chapters here in 2 Kings, chapters 18, 19, and 20. There's four chapters in 2 Chronicles, chapters 29, 30, 31, 32. And then there's three chapters again in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 37, 38, 39. So there are those three specific portions that really bring together so much of the life of Hezekiah. There's some other individual references in other places. As I said, he's mentioned in eight books. So there's five other books there that we haven't mentioned. But the vast majority of what is given to us by way of detail about this man is found in these three portions. Three in 2 Kings, four in 2 Chronicles, and then three in the prophet of Isaiah. And what I want to do this morning is really to highlight some of the prominent features of this man's life out of these three portions of Scripture. We're going to go back and pick up on some of these details later on, but I just want to seek to give an overview. And if we can see something of the wider picture of his life, then I trust that when we come to think about particular points, that we will be able to relate them one to another. I want you to think first of all about Hezekiah and the godly spiritual counselor that he had. You see, his name, as we've been pointing out, means strengthened of the Lord. But how did the Lord strengthen him? How does the Lord strengthen you and me if we bring it down to personal application? We acknowledge that we need the strength of the Lord. There's not a Christian who's going to say, well, I don't need the Lord and I don't need the help of the Lord. No Christian's going to say that. But how does the Lord help us? What is the means by which the Lord helps us? It's all right to say, well, yes, the Lord has promised to help me and he will help me, but how does that help come to us in practical terms? Well, the help that the Lord promises comes to us in exactly the same way as it came to Hezekiah, through the word of the Lord. Now, Hezekiah had the benefit of having the prophet Isaiah, ministered during the life of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had this man as his spiritual counselor. But the spiritual counsel that Isaiah brought was the word of the Lord. And there are times that we will come to see that. I've mentioned already that there are three chapters in the prophecy of Isaiah that deals with the life of Hezekiah, chapters 37, 38, 39. So there are three chapters in that man's prophecy that deal with this king and the circumstances that were found, some of the circumstances that were found during his reign. Hezekiah had this man as his spiritual counselor who would instruct him and who would encourage him and who would influence him for good in the ways of the Lord. It tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 20, it says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Well, Hezekiah did. He heard counsel and he received the instruction that he was given by the prophet Isaiah, and it did make him wise. And if we do likewise, if we hear the word of the Lord, well, it will make us wise as well. And God's word comes to us to strengthen us and encourage us and help us in exactly the same way as it came to Hezekiah. So when we come to think about this man and notice some of these occasions, we can say, this is how the Lord strengthens me as well. The Lord doesn't bypass or short circuit his word. There's no quick fix for us to get help from God. The Lord has appointed the means by which you and I are strengthened. It is by his word. And if we do not spend time with his word, then don't be surprised if we are weak and helpless Christians. Don't be surprised if we are weak as Christians, if we do not spend time with the word of God, because this is the means that God has ordained. And therefore, if we neglect the means that God has ordained, is it any surprise then that we are weak and lacking in strength if we do not spend time with his word? The Christian who spends time with the word of God and reads it and meditates upon it and considers it is going to be a Christian who's going to be strong in the Lord. That's going to be the inevitable outcome of spending time with the word of God. Hezekiah was the man that he was because of the word of the Lord coming to him. I want you just to, if you're in 2 Kings there, turn over to 2 Kings 19 and chapter 20 as well. We're going to look at some verses here because there are at least six separate occasions when you read about these two men's interaction one with the other. And that's why we're just going to stay with one portion, because that means then we're not duplicating, because we could go to 2 Chronicles or Isaiah and you end up, you're just repeating something that has already been noticed in this place. So we're just going to stay with 2 Kings and look at these six different places where it specifically says that the word of the Lord came to King Hezekiah and the part that that Isaiah played in it. 2 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 20. It says, "Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Now, we're not so much worried at the moment about what was it that he said. I just want you to notice it did come to pass. There were these times when Isaiah brings the word of the Lord to Hezekiah. There's the first one. Now turn over to 2 Kings chapter 20. Look at verse 1. "And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord." So here again, the word of the Lord is coming to Hezekiah through Isaiah. Now, I'm just going to mention these other ones very quickly. Look at verse 8, and you'll see this time it turns around a little bit. "Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said," Hezekiah was actually looking for a word from the Lord. He's coming to Isaiah, and he's asking Isaiah, "Has the Lord said anything? What is it that the Lord is saying?" This man wants to know the word of the Lord. And then verse 14, you'll find, "Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him." So again, here's counsel from the Lord. Verse 16, "Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord." And then verse 19, "Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." Good is the word of the Lord. And as we'll come to see eventually, that word that Hezekiah was speaking about wasn't necessarily what he wanted to hear. But nevertheless, he accepted it as being the good word of the Lord. So there's six occasions in those two chapters where you notice that there's this interaction between Hezekiah and Isaiah. Isaiah is bringing him the word of the Lord. There's even times when Hezekiah is asking the prophet, "Well, what is the word from the Lord?" And even when the word is not what he wanted to hear, there at the end, that last verse 19, he says, "Nevertheless, good is the word of the Lord." It's the Lord's word after all. It mightn't be necessarily what I want to hear, but it is God's word, and therefore it's good. It'll be wise counsel. If it is God's word and it's giving me direction and instruction with regards to my life and circumstances, whatever it is, it's going to be the good word of the Lord. So this man is going to be mightily helped because he has got this spiritual counselor who will bring him the word of the Lord. And we will be individuals who are helped of the Lord in our lives if we are those who have got an ear to hear the word of the Lord. Hezekiah had that great privilege. There were two prophets in Israel or in Judah at that particular time, Hezekiah and Micah. In fact, you'll read of Hezekiah over in the book of Micah. But Micah was more the prophet to the country. He was the prophet to the people. Isaiah was the prophet to the royal court. And quite often, as you read the prophecy of Isaiah itself and the times that he's mentioned elsewhere, Isaiah is the man who's bringing the word of the Lord to the king. But God also had a man who was bringing the word of the Lord to the people, Micah. Much shorter book. There's only seven chapters in Micah's little prophecy. But nevertheless, Micah was the prophet to the people. God had a man out in the country as well who was preaching and teaching and seeking to counsel the people. While he had this man in the royal court, and the Lord has his word. He has given us his word, and that word is for our good and for our counsel. In Proverbs chapter 2, you have that portion, verses 1 to 9, that highlights the importance of the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." And it goes on down through that portion to stress the need to seek after it, and if an individual will seek after it, they will receive the benefit of it. Verse 6, which is the motto text for our Christian schools, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." And that's what Solomon the wise man had to say to his son. If you follow after these ways, if you follow after the Lord's word and hear the Lord's counsel, it will take you into every good path, because it's God's good word and it will lead you into good paths. And Hezekiah had that benefit. But you and I have that benefit as well. We have got God's word. We've got it in our hand today. The Lord has privileged us with having his word, all of his word, to counsel us and to instruct us. And as he was helped mightily of God through the prophet, the Lord will help us and enable us through his word. And therefore may we be those who spend time with the word and who take heed to it. So Hezekiah had a godly spiritual counselor. I want you also to think of this, that Hezekiah was a man of prayer. Again, is this not a means by which the Lord helps an individual? He helps them by prayer. If we never ask him for his help, we will never find his help. We will never know his help. The Lord is to be entreated. The Lord is to be sought. The Lord is to be asked. That's the very basis upon which a sinner comes to Christ in salvation. They are to seek the Lord. And we have those gospel exhortations in the Word of God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's an exhortation upon the unconverted to seek the Lord and to call upon him if they're ever to know his saving power. Well, it's exactly true for the Christian. If we are to know the Lord strengthening us from day to day, not only do we need to spend time in his word, we need to ask him. We need to ask him for his help. And you discover that in the life of Hezekiah, we read about him asking the Lord for his help. He asked the Lord for his help in great public matters that were affecting his kingdom. For example, when he was besieged by the enemy, the Assyrians, and the letter arrived calling upon him and all the princes of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to surrender and throw open the gates and let in the Assyrian army, what did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah took it to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah chapter 37, verses 14 and 15 read, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord." Isaiah 37, verses 14 and 15. That's what he did at the time of need in his kingdom. The Syrians were a mighty host compared to the armies of Judah. There they were, that already ransacked many of the towns and villages in Judah. And they were outside the walls of Jerusalem. And they were threatening all sorts. And they thought that even their very presence and superior numbers would encourage Hezekiah to throw open the gate and surrender to them. Hezekiah took it to the Lord in prayer. He prayed about it. He read the letter. He knew what the enemy was threatening, what the enemy wanted him to do. He went up into the house of God. He spread it out before the Lord and he prayed. He prayed. And a man who prays is a man who's going to be helped of the Lord. And is it any wonder then that we discover that this man was indeed helped of God? Because he prayed about it. But he prayed about personal things as well. Not just the greater matters of his kingdom, but also the personal matters that affected his own life. Because we read that he took ill. He took ill. The word of the Lord came to him through the prophet and told him that you're to set your house in order, that you're going to die and not live. Isaiah 38 this time. And it's verse 2. It says, "Then, having heard this word from Isaiah the prophet," it says, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." He prayed about it. That was the first thing that he did. When the word came from Isaiah the prophet to him, you're ill and you're not going to live, he prayed about it. He took it to the Lord in prayer. He's on his sick bed. He couldn't do anything else. He just turns himself away from whoever else is in the room. He turns himself to the wall for a little bit of privacy, and he begins to pray. He begins to call upon the Lord. And he pours out his heart in desperation to the Lord. "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee." He prays. So whether it's about some great matter in his kingdom, the Assyrian army is at the gates threatening all sorts, and the kingdom is endangered, he's praying in those circumstances. Here, whether it's personal, right down to the very fact about whether he's going to live or die, and he's praying about the matter. And as I say, a man who's going to pray like this is a man who's going to be helped of God. What other outcome can there be? But not only did he pray on his own, I want you also to notice that he prayed with the prophet. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 32, and it's verse 20. And we'll come eventually to look at the details of this chapter, but I'm just drawing to your attention now this example. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 20, it says, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven." So here he is praying with the prophet. Whether they were actually in the same room together, I just don't know. But they certainly are in unison here praying about this matter. They're praying together about it. "For this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven." He's joining with others in prayer. Not only is he praying for himself and praying over the great issues of the kingdom, he's joining with others in praying as well and calling upon the Lord. And the two of them are praying together about the same matter. That verse starts off, "For this cause." There's a cause here that they're joined in unison together. They're in harmony about this one issue, this one cause. It's to do with Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. But here's common cause. And this common cause brings these two men together. One of them is the king in the land. The other is the prophet in the land, the prophet to the royal court. And the two of them have cause to come together and to pray about the matter. There's common cause here. And what is a prayer meeting but those who have got common cause coming together to call upon the Lord? When we come together to pray, it's that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, the Bible says it shall be done in heaven. There has to be a common cause. There's something that brings us together to pray one with the other for a particular purpose. And Hezekiah is such a man for all the affairs of the kingdom. He doesn't say, "I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to meet with Isaiah. Do you not know I've got all the things of the royal of this kingdom to look after? I'm the king in this land, and I've got all of these matters to attend to. I don't have time to attend a prayer meeting." Well, it wouldn't seem that Hezekiah acted like that. When there was need to pray, he joins together with the prophet, and they pray. And it's that type of praying that's going to obtain answers from God and bring the strength of the Lord. It's no surprise then that we find out his name means strengthened of the Lord. And it's not going to be any surprise either that we'll discover there's many answers to prayer in this man's life. What else can there be when a man prays like this? Anybody prays like this, there's going to be outcomes. May we learn the importance of prayer. Whatever it is we're praying about, great matters, public matters that affect the kingdom, personal matters, or whether it's coming collectively together to pray. Hezekiah teaches much about all of these things and how to obtain help from God. But also, thinking about this man as by way of an overview of his life, here's a man that lived by faith. Hezekiah was a man that lived by faith. If you look at go back to 2 Kings there, and verse 18, or chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 18, and it's verse 5. The opening words of it, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel." He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Being a praying man, he's going to be a believing man. He's going to be a man that trusts in the Lord. Because communion with God generates a confidence in God. Nobody can spend time with God, either in his word or in prayer, and not have a confidence in God. You mark anybody that spends time with the Word of God and spends time at the throne of grace, and you'll find somebody that has a confidence in God. They know God. They know Him. And then knowing Him, they have a confidence in Him. They believe certain things about Him. They can depend upon Him. And we'll discover as we work our way through the life of Hezekiah that that's exactly the case. For example, he trusted in God to be his protector and defender, and he had no dependence upon the idols as an arm of flesh. That was the practice of his father. That was the example that he had been set by his ungodly father. He was an idol worshipper, and he thought that he could depend on the idols. He didn't want to depend upon the invisible God of heaven. No, his father wanted something much more visible, much more obvious to him and to the nation. He wanted to set up the idols and bow down before the idols and trust in them to help him. Hezekiah is going to just trust in the living God of heaven, the unseen, invisible God who is the living God. Hezekiah is going to trust in him. He's not going to set up some idol and worship at some altar that is going to honor a false god. He's going to trust in the God of heaven to be his protector and to be his defender. He trusted in God without invoking the aid or purchasing the succor of foreign kings, such as King Asa and Ahaz did, who were his predecessors. They went to some of the neighboring kingdoms and joined alliance with them, paid them money. This man comes to understand it's just better to trust in the Lord. Better to trust in the Lord than in princes, the psalm says. Isn't Psalm 118 tells us that? It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes. Well, that was how this man Hezekiah certainly lived. Yeah, Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Well, that was very true with Hezekiah. He wasn't going to trust in these other nations. He wasn't going to enter into alliances and even agreements and send them money and buy their help. He was going to depend upon the Lord. Why? Because he's a man who knows the Lord. He's a man who's living by faith. This king of Judah believed that God was the secret and source of his strength, more than even his own armies. There was a certain degree of activity that Hezekiah had to enter into and engage in. The Syrians were at the gates after all, but he wasn't trusting alone. He wasn't trusting in the armies of Judah. He wasn't trusting in any skill that he had as their commander-in-chief either. He believed that God ruled among the kingdoms of men and even among the armies of heaven and earth. That's where his faith was. And one of the great lessons that you will discover in reading through and considering the life of Hezekiah is the fact, here's a man who had faith in God. And Christian, we are to have faith in God. We have to have faith in God. Whatever the circumstances, have faith in God. Believe God. Remember Paul, when he was on that ship that was about to be shipwrecked, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and they'd given up all hope because the storm was so ferocious in the Mediterranean that they believed that the ship was going to go down and all that were on it were going to perish. And Paul went and prayed. It says after a long time, abstinence, Paul appeared. He had been away praying. And then he stood upon the deck of the ship and he said to those that were in command, he says, I believe God. And Paul made the great pronouncement, there's not one of us is going to perish. Every one of us are going to get off this ship. We're going to be shipwrecked, and all the goods that are in the ship are going to be lost, but there's not a single life that's going to be lost. And Paul says, I believe God. Well, Hezekiah is a man over whom you could write, here's a man who believes God. He believes in God. And may we live our lives as if we believe in God. Whatever the circumstances, we believe God. We believe that He exists. We believe that He is in control. We believe that we can trust in Him and depend on Him, and He will see us through no matter what. He doesn't promise us an easy course. No, it's not going to be a flowery bed of ease. But He is going to promise His help. And that's what Hezekiah had. So we've thought about him as having a spiritual counselor. We've thought about him as being a man of prayer. We've thought about him as a man who lived by faith. One further point I want you to think about as well here, that he was a man who faced specific challenges in his life. He might have had all of this that we can commend about his life, but that, as I say, doesn't mean the absence of difficulties and troubles. No, not the case at all. Some people have even described them as crises in Hezekiah's life. There are four great particular incidences, specific incidences in his life. And whether you want to call them challenges or whether you want to call them crises, that's up to you. But there are four of them that stand out in his life. There, first of all, there was the challenge of reform. Will he follow the idol worship of his father, or will he strike out on a new path? Will he go back to the old ways? Remember, the Bible says here in 2 Kings 18 that he was going to be like his father David. Well, is he going to go back to the old ways? Is he going to have enough courage? Is the Lord going to help him sufficiently that he's going to turn his back upon the idol worship of his father? In fact, is he going to pull down and tear down all the remnants of the idol worship in the land? Will he seek to bring about a reform of the worship of the nation of Judah? And even further afield than that, where he has an influence. He was presented with this great challenge. What's he going to do? Thankfully, by the Lord's help, he chose the path of reform. And he led a great reformation in the land. A great reformation in the land. We read that portion over there in 2 Chronicles this morning because in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, you come to the climax of that period of reform. And we'll take in the details, God willing, as we go through this. But if you just turn over to that portion, 2 Chronicles 30, where we were reading, as I say, this is the climax. And the climax was the keeping of the Passover. And it tells you there in verse 5 that the fashion in which the Passover was kept had not been kept like this for a long time. And the particular point that is emphasized here is that it was kept according to the word of the Lord. Because it says there in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 5, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel in Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So here is a man who's going right back to the written word. Here's a man going back to the Bible. That's what Hezekiah did in his reform of the land. He went back to the Bible. He went back to what God had written. And whatever other observation or observances that there had been of the Passover in previous times, none was like that which took place at this time in the life of Hezekiah, because Hezekiah went back to the Bible. He went back to what was written. Now, we read a little bit there, and we'll just take a flavor of it now this morning to see, well, where's the challenge in all of this? Well, the challenge in this was that there were people who didn't want to go the way that Hezekiah wanted to go. And then, if you read on down that 2 Chronicles chapter 30, for example, take in verse 10. So the posts passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. So there were those who didn't want to go along. There were those who didn't want to go back to the Bible and the land. So here's the challenge. There's going to be conflict between those that want to go back and those that don't. So Hezekiah is not picking the easy option, picking the easy road and saying, well, it's the road of least resistance, the least trouble. I'll walk that road. I just want to manage my kingdom. I just want to keep peace in the kingdom. No, this man set out with a purpose. I'm going to reform this land and this nation. I'm going to take it back to the Bible. I'm going to take it back to the Word of God. And evidently, there were those who were going to resist that. But nevertheless, the Lord helped them. The Lord helped them. It's a challenge to stand by the Bible, particularly today, whether it's in worship or whatever other practice it might be applicable to. Because there's many who don't want to go back to the Bible. They want to forge a new way, cut out a new path. A path of compromise, a path of change, a path of watering down the old standards and not making them just as restrictive as they think. Well, what's the challenge for us? Are we going to do what's right and look to the Lord for his help? Because that's what Hezekiah did. There was the challenge of invasion. We've been mentioning the Assyrians, and they have already taken the northern kingdom into captivity. That happens during the reign of Hezekiah. And they set their sights on the kingdom of Judah as well. And we've mentioned how eventually they arrived at the gates of Jerusalem. And again, God willing, we'll take in some of the details as to how that all came about. But this is a great challenge for Hezekiah. It's often the case, do anything for God, and there'll be distractions and hindrances. There'll be oppositions. here's a man. It's interesting that the period of reform comes first and then the opposition, the invasion of the Assyrians. Sometimes people think, well, surely there's a man faithful to the Lord. Why does the Lord not look after him and keep away all those armies that invade? Sure, look at all the good things that he did in the land. But as we know, that's not the way the Lord often works. The Lord's ways are not our ways. And no sooner had this man led that time of reform, turned the nation back so much to the Bible, and next thing the Assyrian army's breathing down his neck, ready to destroy his kingdom. Was he going to crumble under pressure? Is he going to throw open the gates and give way to the enemy? Even when they're more numerous than he is, more powerful than he is, when they're right under the walls of Jerusalem, what's it going to be? Is he going to crumble or is he going to stand? Well, Hezekiah is the man who stands firm, but he stands firm because the Lord is his helper. The Lord is his helper. Then there was the challenge of sickness, much more personal. Again, we've mentioned a little bit of this because we mentioned it there with regards to him praying, but he was told that he was sick and that he was sick unto death. What's he going to do? Well, we've noticed that he prayed and he looked to the Lord for help there too. He prayed about it and he committed it to the Lord. But again, it was a great challenge. It's a great challenge when any of us hear news of sickness, either ourselves or somebody else. What do we do? Do we trust in God? Commit our way to him? Well, Hezekiah is a man who trusts in God, looks to the Lord for his help. And then there was the challenge of prosperity. Because in the latter years of Hezekiah's life, he got lifted up with pride and he forgot the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man. You know, a month or so ago now, I was listening to a testimony on the internet. And it was a Southern Baptist in America who grew up in very poor circumstances, but the Lord had richly blessed him. And he was testifying. And that's what made it interesting to listen to. He said the greatest temptation that he had ever faced in his life was the temptation of prosperity. The temptation of prosperity. He says, that is the greatest temptation I have had to face in my life. From growing up in poverty, where he didn't even have shoes for his feet, to then being worth a fortune. He said, that has been the greatest temptation, prosperity. Well, that was the case with Hezekiah. Prosperity became a temptation. Because as the Lord helped him, and as he saw victories, and he saw the kingdom turned again to the Lord, even when the Lord was gracious to him in his sickness, he got to the place where it says he was lifted up in pride and he forgot the Lord. The prophet had to come and rebuke him. And we were noticing that there in 2 Kings 20, when Isaiah came and spoke to him. And that's when Hezekiah said, good is the word of the Lord which he has spoken. Because the prophet said, this is what the Lord's going to do. The Lord, you know, didn't overlook his faults and his sins. The Lord didn't say, well, Hezekiah, you've been such a good man, I'm going to overlook this. No. The Lord doesn't overlook sin anywhere, and he certainly doesn't overlook it in his people. But it was a challenge, and we'll come to think about the detail. But again, it's an opportunity to look to the Lord for his help. So when we think about the life of Hezekiah, or you think about it, you can summarize it under those four points. Reform, invasion, sickness, prosperity. Those are four great challenges in his life. So that's a little overview of his life. The other point that I'll just mention, and we'll take it up at another time, but we'll finish out this overview. And that was not only the meaning of his name and the manner of his life, but the multiplying of his days. Because this something remarkable about this man was that the Lord added to his life. Because in that period of sickness, as he prayed, the Lord was gracious to add to his life 15 years. That takes in more than half of his reign. He reigned for 29 years. So if the Lord hadn't added on to him 15 years, His reign wouldn't have been the half of what it was. But the Lord was gracious. The Lord had a purpose in doing so. Because it was during those 15 added years that the Lord gave him a son. And that son carried on the royal line of Judah from which the Messiah came. God had a purpose in adding to his days. It wasn't just a matter of doing it because Hezekiah wanted the Lord to do it. The Lord did it because the Lord had a purpose. And the purpose was that the royal line of Judah would be carried on from which would come the messianic line. Because Manasseh was only 12 years old when he began to reign, when his father died. So evidently, Manasseh had been born during that added on period of 15 years. And he was going to carry on the messianic line. God had a purpose in extending this man's life. And it is a reminder of us, to us all as we finish. What the Lord does, he does with a purpose. In all of our lives, what he does with a purpose. Whatever it is. Little details, great details. There's always a purpose in all that God does. And he certainly had a purpose in Hezekiah's life. He strengthens this man. He has a purpose for him. And may the Lord strengthen us. And may he indeed work out his purposes in our lives. And may we trust him. May we trust him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this day. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thou will bless thy word as we have meditated upon it today. Lord, as we thought again of this man that thou has recorded in Scripture for us, these details are for our instruction. And we pray, Lord, that they will indeed be a blessing to us as we have pondered them today and will do so in thy will at another time. Tarry with us as we come around this remembrance table. Lord, be with those that would take their leave of us, but tarry with us that remain. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.